Councilman Andy Pico, representing District 6 and running for re-election here on Colorado Springs City Council. Thanks so much for coming into the studio.
My pleasure.
To begin with, I'd like to ask you to just introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about your background and kind of where you're coming from.
Okay. Andy Pico, running for re-election District 6 on City Council. I'm a retired naval flight officer. I flew aircraft off of carriers for about 21 years. In increasing staff positions in the last half of that career. The Navy sent me here to Cheyenne Mountain in 1991 for Desert Storm. So I was up there for that fun and games. I retired here in 94, went away for about a year. The companies here, the defense industry, called me back and had a job for me to write requirements for all the systems that I had used to work for. So I came back, did a second career as a defense contractor, working in an industry to support the military operations here. And in that capacity, I did a lot of, NORAD work, Cheyenne Mountain work, and work across the country and Canada. And did that for, I'd say, 16 years. And then retired again and ran for City Council. So I'm on my third career. This is my retirement hobby, I like to say, and semi-retired otherwise. And it keeps me busy.
You're just winding up your first term here on City Council. Why have you decided to run again?
Well, we've got a lot of work to do yet. When I ran initially, the economy here locally was a little bit in dire straits. And I think we've turned that around a little bit here. I think things are moving in the right direction at this point. We've done a lot to do expansion of industry and different types of businesses. We've got new business sectors coming. And things are looking up. The unemployment is down. Job growth is up. But I think we have a long ways to go yet. And I kind of look at the job as I'm half done. And I've got a little bit more to do, both in economic development. We've got a lot done in utilities over the last 4 years. We've delivered some of these major projects on time or ahead of schedule, on budget or below budget. And I'm very proud of the SDS, staff that we have at Colorado Springs Utilities is first rate. They've won awards for what they've done in there. We basically brought in a $1 billion project, $150 million under budget, which is $150 million that stayed in everybody's pockets because we were able to cancel those rate increases. And that's very proud of that. But looking forward, we have a lot of plans in the future. There's a lot of long-range issues we have to get ready for. The Drake Power Plant is going to need to be replaced at some point. The board has made that decision that that'd be 2035. I'd kind of like to not have a hard date on it, but economically it will become an issue for us, and we need to start that planning, and we need to get ready for how that is because it will be another major project, which will not come in cheap.
And so you mentioned Drake Power Plant. What are some of the other big issues that you think the city faces at this moment?
Well, we have to do economic development. We have in our economy here, we've got about half of it is tied up in defense. And I know that very well, having been a defense contractor and having come into the military. But almost half of it is defense. And of the remainder, about half of the remainder is tourism. So we need to really expand a lot of that. And we've done a lot of along that lines. At the airport, the commercial and aeronautical zone has been extraordinarily successful. It's done far better than we thought. Over 2,000 new jobs. That's 2,000 new homeowners. That's 2,000 more people in the customer base for all the small businesses we have in town. So it's been very successful, but it's still building. So all those, for example, that's a whole new business sector that we didn't have before. And looking ahead, we had a lot of empty hangars. Those are now leased. That's revenue back to the airport, which lowers the cost of the airlines, enables them to lower the ticket costs that we all pay to fly out of the Springs, and that enables the airlines in to be more competitive, and we're adding routes. So additional air service, we've had several routes added. And in the months ahead, I think you'll see a number of other routes added. I think we'll see that month after month. We'll see more routes, and each one then lowers further the ticket costs that we have to pay to fly out of the airport. So we're becoming more competitive. And I think that's an example of business growth, and we need to expand it. We need to bring in more business sectors. We've got cyber is now another new business sector, which we've got going up, working with both the state, local, and industry. And UCCS, we've got a pretty good program coming up and a new cyber center.
And on City Council, what specifically do you think City Council as a body can do in order to stimulate that kind of growth and diversification of our local economy?
Well, the biggest thing we need to do on City Council is remove barriers, you know, and barriers to development. And that can be a lot of the regulatory stuff. That can be licensing, you know, what they have to jump through in order to set up a business and go through that. In the aeronautical zone, it was a reduction in taxes within that particular area. And we can do that kind of thing again in other areas. We also then work with some of the other industry groups, such as the chamber, but not limited to that, to find out what it is that they need. We go out there, you know, the city actively recruits. The Colorado Springs Utilities has an economic development team. So we're constantly looking, trying to recruit companies to come here. And the companies that are here, we're looking to do what we can to help them expand and make it easier and more profitable for them to do so.
Your district, District 6, it's a large district spanning from, you know, south of the airport all the way up north through Banning Lewis Ranch and beyond. What are some of the core constituencies of your district?
Well, we've got a business corridor along Powers, so that is a major issue that's constantly developing. We've got a lot of development area that's going on. I also have in there Peterson Air Force Base and the airport are both within now District 6. So it's kind of nice to have a, you know, pilot help represent the issues of the airport. So that's one of those minor things, although I haven't flown in an awfully long time. But you know, I do have that background and how we expand across that. You know, it's largely vacant right now. It is a huge area. I joked one time that representing the jackrabbits and the rattlesnakes, and that's going to be converted into areas then for businesses to come in. We're hoping to attract industry to be able to come into parts of those areas, particularly down around the airport where we have an air park, business park, but we also have the areas of Banning Lewis Ranch around it, and try to make that more available, competitive, so that we can attract industry. And it's been a problem, you know, companies will come in. We've had at least one company come in, take a look at building a facility near the airport within the Banning Lewis Ranch area and bail out because it cost too much and they went elsewhere. And that's the kind of thing we have to turn around. We have to make it more competitive. And there's a lot of different ways to do that. But that's kind of the issue looking ahead as to how that how we make that more competitive and how we attract businesses to both come here and those that are here to expand.
And we talked about some of the big issues facing the city, and maybe you just touched on this a little bit, but what do you think are some of the biggest issues facing specifically your district?
Specifically my district is going to be how and what we do within Banning Lewis Ranch and how we expand the business corridor along Powers and the airport expansion, attracting those businesses as we come in there. So those are the specific issues that are unique to District 6. For the city as a whole, including District 6, we have issues of trying to keep up with the roads, maintain and bring them up to speed, doing the flood control projects, stormwater, and police and fire. We're understaffed presently in our public safety areas, and that's an issue we have to address. And some of the equipment is getting pretty old, some of the buildings are getting pretty old, and we have to address that looking forward.
And you know, infrastructure, you kind of touched on that. It's a big issue here locally. I wonder what your feeling is about our tax base here and specifically sort of the balance that we have between sales tax and property tax. Do you think that we are where we should be in terms of our local tax base?
Well, the tax base is a question about what the economic base is, and my objective is to expand that base the most we can do. So the more economic activity we have expands the tax base, and that's, you know, we bring it in, and that's kind of how we pay for the projects going forward, infrastructure, police, fire, and so forth. Now, the structure of that tax is we're pretty lopsided. The average city there, average city USA, and you go across country, has roughly equal revenues between property tax and sales tax, and we don't. We're almost entirely sales tax. Our total property tax coming in is only $20 million per year, which is almost nothing in a $550 million budget. So, you know, people kind of take a look at our sales tax rate and complain it's kind of high, and they're right, and it's a little bit high. But they have nothing in property tax to the city. Now, before a whole lot of people rip open their property tax bills and start mailing it to me. Just look how much of that goes to the city, and it's very little. In the total tax base that we have here, a total tax per capita that we have here in Colorado Springs is one of the lowest in the country. Now, the Wall Street Journal did a study. I'm not going to vouch for the accuracy of it or the details or anything, but they rated us as the seventh lowest in the country on per capita spending and per capita taxes. So I think we're about where we ought to be. I'm not advocating that we change that ranking at all. I rather like being a low tax place. That helps us attract businesses, and I say it helps our economic base and helps them to grow. But we are kind of lopsided. Whether it's in the right place or not, I'm not going to take a position at this point. But it is an issue for us because the sales tax is very fluctuates quite a bit, whereas the property tax is fairly level. The average person out there kind of likes it that way. I'm not really in a position at this point to say it's right or wrong.
But when you do look out and see some of these infrastructure investments that need to be made, where do you think that money ought to come from?
I think that money ought to come from growing the tax base, building a larger business economy, kicking that up. And I'm going to call success when we hit the Tabor cap every year and we're able to go back to the citizens and say, here it is, or if there's a pressing need to say, what do you think? And whatever that pressing need is at the time. I kind of like the idea of just as we hit that Tabor cap, refunding it back. And that helps lower the effective tax rate, which essentially is a lower sales tax rate to everybody, and helps businesses. So it's kind of it helps feed prosperity when we do that. And I kind of like that. So we'll see how that goes over future, but that's kind of where I look at it right now. Yes, we do have a large infrastructure backlog. Councilwoman Collins and I sat on a committee that Mayor Bach set up with a citizen committee, and we took a look and cataloged all the backlog infrastructure that we have. And that list is pretty eye-watering. And right now, with what we're doing, we're tackling about half of it.
I want to raise an issue from this past term. Last year, you introduced a resolution at City Council declaring opposition to the relocation of refugees from the United States Refugee Resettlement Program to the city of Colorado Springs. That issue stirred some controversy and stirred some backlash, I guess you could say. Obviously, we've seen that same issue kind of come up on a national level here recently in some ways. I'm wondering kind of where you stand on that now. Is that resolution something you're still interested in pursuing? Where does all that kind of fall for you today?
Well, first off, let me correct something on there. I never, ever put forth a resolution that would ban refugees. A lot of people jumped on that thing, and the way it came up on the computer screen, it was truncated. But you had to read the whole sentence to get the correct title. I never did anything that was against all refugees. What I was zeroing in on was an issue that at the national level they were talking about greatly expanding Syrian refugees coming to the United States and shortening the timeline for coming in. And a lot of entities, it wasn't just me, an awful lot of people, kind of said, what exactly are you doing here? From several different aspects. One is the security aspect, and I'll remind people that I spent 40 years in the national security arena with some fairly significant security clearances looking at who the threat was. And I know who they are, and I know who they're not. And I know what they're trying to do. I mean, that's one of the issues. So far as the impact of the city, I was concerned with, and still am, about the impact that increasing numbers of refugees has on the city infrastructure and local. Because what happens is, these refugees and immigrants will come in. A lot of the local agencies here are very proud of the fact that they're helping them, and a lot of them are doing a very good job. I'm going to say that up front. But a lot of their program is to put them on local assistance, both county and city, and that's who's funding a lot of this. So the federal agencies, which are the relocation agencies, are funded by the federal government, but the impact also comes on state and county and city and school district. Locally was the impact. So the concern I had was they're increasing the numbers without telling us who's coming. That has a budgetary impact on local governments, and we kind of deserve to know what those numbers are. In fact, the news reports were kind of exaggerated. The numbers that have come here are not that great. But it was an issue that's, you know, we deserve to know who that is. And there was a backlash on it, but I'll also tell you that there were twice as many people contacted me in support as stood up and contacted me in opposition. So, you know, if that was to put that to a vote today of the population, I'll bet you would pass 2-1. The only reason I left it on the tape, on the table, on the shelf, and it's still sitting there on the shelf, is that the local agencies have done what I asked. They invited us in. We sat down. They do a quarterly update, and I've been fairly comfortable with the information they provided. I won't say that all those discussions have been always happy and cheerful, but they've done what I asked, which is to provide us the information that on who's coming, how many, and what the schedules are. So I've been fairly comfortable with that. The national level, I've been very concerned because we had the FBI director have said we can't screen these guys coming in from Syria and some of the other places. We've had the Homeland Security director say we don't have adequate means to screen these guys coming in. The intelligence director said that the opposition here, the ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Hamas, all these different groups are actively trying to infiltrate immigration system, the refugee system, and try to bring people in. So the threat's there. The administration, Obama administration's own leaders said they're coming, they're trying to get in, and we can't stop them. So that was the other part of my concern, is make sure you're vetting them. And when I rewrote the thing from the county resolution, I basically quoted the governor of the state of Colorado. He said they have to be vetted, and that's essentially what I asked for. So I was kind of in line with an awful lot of people. Now I haven't brought it back because, like I say, locally the agencies have stepped up and working with me and doing what I asked. And at the national level, it's being addressed, however ham-handedly at the moment, but it's getting it sorted out, and we're moving forward. And I think the issues that I've raised are being addressed.
So you don't expect to reintroduce that resolution?
No, I left that on there. It's on the shelf, but I don't anticipate bringing it back simply because, like I say, the issues that I wanted to address have been addressed. The local community is refugee resettlement. And immigration partners, agencies are working with us and doing what I asked. And as long as that continues, I have no reason to bring it back.
Mayor Southers has consistently brought up this idea that Colorado Springs is the 40th largest city in the country and that we need to start acting like it, in his words. What does that mean to you? What does it mean to sort of act like the 40th largest city in the country?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know what he means by that. We are the 40th, 41st. I kind of see that a lot of times in a lot of different rankings that we see. I also see that we're, number one or in the top 10 of best cities to live in, young people coming to here. We've heard that the young professionals are leaving the town, and then we see a business report that says, no, they're coming in here as one of the top cities people come to. We got tremendous opportunities here, but what he means by we ought to start acting like the 40th, I don't know what he means. I haven't discussed that with him. I hope he doesn't mean that we ought to get the same tax base, or rate rather, that some of these other cities go. So I kind of like where we are. I think we're doing a pretty good job with what we need to do. I remember one person sent me a report one time of it. We ought to do what this other city is doing. It was the 40th or 41st largest, and we kind of swap back and forth depending on which survey you read. We ought to do what they're doing, and I started thumbing through what they're doing. And when I got to their tax revenues on the same population base and almost identical business structure was four times what we are, I go, no, we don't need to do that. But 40th largest, I think that's a great place to be. It kind of strikes an awareness of just how much we're doing here when we have that many people and that much going on. But what exactly that means to move forward, I don't know.
And maybe to put it a slightly different way, there's Plan COS, this planning process is going on. There's this sort of new branding of Colorado Springs, Olympic City. I think there's a sense that the city is moving in some kind of direction that toward more growth, toward more development, expansion of that business community, as you sort of talked about. But I guess when you look out, you know, 10, 20, 50 years, what's your vision for Colorado Springs? How would you like to see this city continue to grow and potentially change?
Well, the long-range planning is something we're actively doing all the time, and especially in the utilities, because you need to bring the systems on before the need hits you. You know, if you wait to run short of water, and it takes 20 years to bring the water up, water project, and, you know, you're late to the game, saving the power. It takes, you know, 5 years to apply, get the permits, you know, and build power plants. So you need to really look ahead, figure out where you're going, you know, and plan for that. And I happen to have, at this present time, chair of the Pikes Peak Area Council of Governments, and that long-range planning and long-range transportation planning is what they do over there day after day. So we do have, you know, the estimates about how many people are coming here, and we need to plan on that as what the transportation links are. I'll tell you that we need better roads, you know, rail networks to come in. We need to expand, you know, air links and so forth. Those are all things we have to work on in the future to meet the growing population. And our population is growing about 1.5-2% per year, year after year after year. Very, very steady growth. And that's what we need to plan for in the future. You know, in any 1 year, it's not much, but when you look out 10, 20 years, those get to be some pretty good numbers, and you need to plan ahead.
Finally, I would like to give you an opportunity to kind of make a final pitch. Why should folks in District 6 vote for you?
Well, I've been working on this now for 4 years. I think I'm about halfway through the a lot of stuff to get done. I'm looking at pro-growth policies. I've had the honor now of chairing the Utilities Board for the last 2 years, and I've been chair of the Pikes Peak Area Council of Governments, so working transportation, air, and water quality issues, area agency, the aging. So that's been a tremendous experience to do that. We've got a lot of work to do. I've got now the background in all of these areas. I know what these issues are and how to address them, and I have been in the leadership positions for some of these organizations and some of these projects. I need to work that. So from the airport, for transportation, for roads going north, the I-25 gap, PPACG is very much involved in that, planning for the future. And that's what I'm telling you is I'm looking out ahead. I'm looking for the future, and I'm planning for the future and trying to ensure that we're ready before the need arises.
Councilman Pico, thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure.